The content of the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is for informational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare show. If you think you may have a medical emergency, call your doctor or 911 immediately. Focus on Females does not recommend or endorse any specific tests, physicians, products, procedures, opinions, or other information that may be mentioned on the radio show. Reliance on any information provided by Focus on Females or others appearing on the show at the invitation of Focus on Females is solely at your own risk. Now, it's time for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Here, we create clarity out of confusion and guide you through today's healthcare maze. Each week, we'll focus on a different medical topic with a guest expert answering your questions. Future topics and guests can be seen at www.focusonfemales.com. Call in between 12:30 and 1 p.m. on Sundays and present your case to our experts. To get involved with today's clinic, call now in Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Be proactive with your health. We're here to focus on you. And now, our host, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
The Focus on Females Radio Health Care Clinic is on, and today we are tackling Crohn's and ulcerative colitis with guest expert Dr. Jürgen Nord of USF. But first, this radio show and the free annual Focus on Females Women's Healthcare Symposium, now the largest in the country with 1,800 women, are supported by the not-for-profit Focus on Females Education Foundation, whose mission is to create an interactive, dynamic community health safety net, making you an expert on your personal medical needs. The result? Better partnering with your existing doctor, leading to more effective office visits, faster results, and a reduced economic burden of avoidable medical and emergency care. We save lives and protect families. And with me again is Dr. Jürgen Nord. Jürgen, it's nice to have you here.
Thank you, Stephen. It's a pleasure to be back.
Dr. Nord is a native of Germany. He received his medical degree magna cum laude from the Goethe University of Frankfurt, Germany. In 1965, he was awarded a Fulbright scholarship. He completed his residency in internal medicine at the Indiana University Medical Center in Indianapolis and his fellowship in gastroenterology at the Washington University Medical School in St. Louis, Missouri. In 1973, he moved to the University of South Florida College of Medicine in Tampa, where he is professor of medicine in the Division of the Digestive Diseases and Nutrition, which he directed from 1990 to 2000. Dr. Nord is a past president of the American Society for Gastrointestinal Endoscopy, Florida Gastroenterologic Society, and Florida Society for Gastrointestinal Endoscopy. He serves on the editorial boards of several scientific journals. Dr. Nord has special interest in postgraduate education and has directed or co-directed 60 postgraduate courses. He has lectured at more than 630 local, regional, national, and international courses and scientific symposia. He has co-edited 3 books or manuals, and more than 160 publications are to his credit. Dr. Nord has been honored in the Best Doctors in America since 1996, and in 1998 he received the Laureate Award of the Florida chapter of the American College of Physicians. The American College of Gastroenterology awarded him mastership in 2005. And I was just thinking, now we did a show a few months ago on gastroesophageal reflux disease.
Yes, we did.
And we had wonderful feedback from that show, and I want to thank you for joining me both then and today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure, and indeed it's a pleasure to be back on your program, Stephen.
Well, let's talk about these two diseases. First off, I guess they have a similar category of disease known as inflammatory bowel disease. Would you explain that to our listeners?
Yes, inflammatory bowel disease encompasses ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease, two diseases which are characterized by inflammation of the intestinal tract. Now, ulcerative colitis is involving the large intestine, or what we call the colon only, while Crohn's disease can involve the large intestine, the lower small intestine called the ileum, or it can involve any part of the intestinal tract, truly from the very top part, the lips, all the way down to the rectum and anus.
Okay. And what are the kind of problems that these patients might present with?
Well, the big problem is that these diseases afflict individuals in their most productive years, usually between the ages of 20 and 35, but certainly any age group can be afflicted, and therefore they have a major impact on overall well-being, on quality of life, on productivity, and that is a major problem because there is a continuous inflammation, and while we presently cannot cure these diseases, we can treat them in many cases quite well, but patients are more or less on lifelong medications.
And they're treated and they can be comforted and they can manage their disease and be productive individuals.
Yes, most people have mild to moderate disease and usually are treated as an outpatient as compared to an inpatient. And there are many actually well-known individuals who have inflammatory bowel disease, sports figures and others. And what I usually tell my patients, President Eisenhower had Crohn's disease. Many people don't know that because they remember that he died from heart disease. And when he was diagnosed and he was treated, the modern forms of therapy and drugs that we presently have were not available. And in spite of us, in spite of that, he did really very well.
So he had untreated Crohn's disease and basically led the free world in a major war.
Indeed, he did. He was president of a major university, became our president, of course. He was treated with surgery, only the segment was bypassed and the small bowel was not removed. And like I said, we did not have the modern drugs that are now available.
Okay. What kind of symptoms, the typical symptoms that an individual might present with?
Yeah, either with Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis, there's usually a change in bowel habits, meaning patients have a more loose a bowel movement, they have frequency, they might have urgency, and many of those patients know more or less where every bathroom is. They know every fast food in a restaurant, in malls. First thing they do is figure out where are the bathrooms. And so that is a problem, for instance, if we have students, if we have people or employees, then all of a sudden on short notice would have to leave their station, have to leave their work. So that's a big problem.
And these are things that once you have a diagnosis of Crohn's, you learn to think ahead and as you mentioned, and to manage this properly so you can, it won't affect your day-to-day.
Absolutely. Many of those patients might have frequent movements in the morning and they may not be able to leave until that is accomplished, so to speak, and then have a more predictable rest of the day. But it affects more or less all aspects of our day-to-day life.
Now, I guess bloody stool is also another symptom of these diseases.
Yes, it's more characteristic of ulcerative colitis, where the lining only is involved as compared to Crohn's disease, where we have what's called a transmural disease, where all layers of the wall are involved. And there, bloody diarrhea is somewhat less common. But indeed, as a result of the bleeding, patients can become anemic, so that can be an additional problem.
Now, in this case, the blood, is it a bright red blood, or is it a...
Usually bright red. It may be maroon-colored, so it may not be as if you cut your finger, but it is certainly, usually noticeable. And that's usually what brings patients to the attention of their physician and primary care.
Now, I guess hemorrhoids is a diagnosis that someone may think they would have if they see blood on the tissue paper, for example.
Yes, of course, they might think, or they might have a little fissure, which is a little crack in the lining. Many times, an endoscopic procedure, either what's called a sigmoidoscopy or now probably more commonly a colonoscopy, would then be able to differentiate between a local and not very important problem like hemorrhoids as compared to inflammatory bowel disease like either ulcerative colitis or Crohn's disease.
And would diverticulitis be another potential cause of blood in the stool?
diverticulitis in and by itself, not, but diverticulosis. And actually, if you take the individual 60 and older, the most common cause of bleeding in that age group is bleeding from a diverticulum. And that's usually arterial bleed. It's bright red and significant in most cases.
Okay. All right. So when should a patient come go to see their doctor? So let's say they have abdominal cramping, bloating, no blood in the stool, but at what point should they, and a change in bowel habit, over what length of time or at what point should they see their doctor about these symptoms?
Yeah, you should see the doctor if you become concerned about chronicity, because many times we get an acute gastroenteritis, we get a quote-unquote bug, and that is self-limited. In 10 days to 2 weeks, it's over and done with. So if it extends beyond that period of time, if you have some systemic symptoms like fever, overall malaise, weakness, I think that's when it should be brought to the attention of the physician. And it should say, especially Crohn's disease, if it involves a small bowel only, is many times difficult to diagnose. And there may be a delay in diagnosis of a year or two before this is really pinned down. And that's a problem.
And typically the diagnosis of Crohn's is made with history or use a barium procedure, radiology procedure?
Yes, it is clearly initially the history, the physical examination. We then have laboratory data which support evidence of inflammation. And then it's usually an imaging study. It could be a barium study, a small bowel follow-through. Many times now it's done with a CT scan or what's called CT enterography, where the CT scan will visualize the bowel loops which have been contrasted with barium or other contrast.
Okay. So if the thought is there, the diagnosis, we have the ability to make a diagnosis promptly.
If we think about it, that's the problem. We need to keep it in mind that indeed there is that possibility and then follow it through all the way until we have it ruled in or ruled out.
Okay. Complications of these diseases. You mentioned anemia from blood loss.
Yes, indeed. So anemia, overall weakness, then there can be, especially in Crohn's disease, complications of abscesses. There can be strictures which are narrowing. The inflammation forms a scar. The scar shrinks, and so the intestine can be narrowed. It can lead to the point of blockage, so intestinal blockage of what's called small bowel or large bowel obstruction can be a problem and might require surgery. Then there is another group which are called fistulae, which are false communications between the intestine and the skin or other intestine. So there can be a fistula in the perianal, perirectal area that can lead to other organs, to other parts of the intestine, to the bladder, to the vagina. So there can be significant problems.
So that's interesting. So Crohn's typically would present initially with diarrhea, but may wind up with constipation.
It could, and indeed a certain number of patients with Crohn's disease have totally normal bowel movements, and indeed if they have a stricture, it can even, you know, can be associated with constipation.
All right, and we'll be right back with more on Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
The Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Call now in Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. More in a few moments.
America's digital goddess, Kim Komando here. Cameras, camcorders, home electronics, HDTVs, computers, online security, privacy, Facebook, MySpace, Blu-ray, and MP3s. Phew, it's a good thing I'm so very gentle on your ears. If it's in your digital life, it's right here on your radio. After all, they don't call me America's digital goddess for nothing.
Kim Komando, Sunday afternoon at 2 on Talk Radio 860 WGUL.
Guten Tag. Enjoy the sights and sounds of Germany at the Schnitzelhaus while feasting on our award-winning cuisine. The Schnitzelhaus is open Wednesday through Saturday from 11 to 9, Sundays from 12 to 8. Lunch prices range from 6 to 10, dinner from $10 to $20. Please call us at 813-884-5634 to make dinner reservations or find our website at schnitzelhaustempa.com. Please visit soon at the Schnitzelhaus, 4333 West Waters Avenue, phone 813-884-5634, where the food is as authentic as the chef's accent.
This radio healthcare program is brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Our mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free 5th Annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, March 27, 2010, visit www.focusonfemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida 33679-2702. Thank you.
Do your eyes have a foreign body sensation or are scratchy and sandy? Do they burn, sting, or itch, or are heavy and tired? Maybe your eyes are sensitive to light or your eyelids achy and sore. Have you seen countless doctors and still can't find relief? Have they told you, sorry, but you'll have to live with this and nothing can be done for you? Well, first, it's likely you suffer from dry eye. And second, don't stand for those answers anymore just because someone else doesn't understand your dry eye problems. Go to the only eye doctor in Central Florida that specializes exclusively in dry eye and related diseases. Meet with Dr. Stephen Maskin at the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, where you will be given up to 2 hours of face-to-face time with a doctor to get at the root cause of your dry eye pain, fluctuating vision, and redness, plus begin targeted therapy right away. Haven't you waited long enough?
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
And welcome back. We are talking about inflammatory bowel disease, and that is Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis, with my guest expert, Dr. Jürgen Nord. And we started talking, well, we talked about a number of aspects of these diseases, Nord Jürgen, and we left off about the complications of inflammatory bowel disease. And would you like to take over and describe some of the systemic complications, other organ systems?
Yes, while primarily the intestinal tract is affected, it is really a systemic disease, and other parts of the body may be involved. For instance, the eyes, patients might have inflammation of the eye, iritis, for instance. They can even have ulcerations on their cornea. There can be liver disease called sclerosing cholangitis, which is a disease involving the bile ducts, and many patients have arthritis. Major joints are involved to the point that the joints might have to be tapped and fluid has to be taken out. The spine may be involved. There may be what's called ankylosing spondylitis, where the spine kind of is like a stiff bamboo stick. Skin may be involved. There are lesions like pyodermic ankylosum or erythema nodosum. So there are many aspects besides the intestinal tract. And about 20 or 30% of patients, primarily those with colonic disease, meaning disease of the large intestine, have these extra intestinal manifestations.
And this could be seen in Crohn's as well as ulcerative colitis.
Yes, it can be seen in both of those.
And regarding the eyes, indeed, as you mentioned, iritis and corneal ulcer, but actually the eyes can be involved from front to back with dry eye. And in fact, personally, I had history, experience treating patients with episcleritis and scleritis. Mm-hmm. And in those cases, topical cyclosporine worked very effectively mm-hmm. to eradicate the inflammation. I was able to discontinue the topical cyclosporine without recurrence for a significant amount of time. But as you point out, these diseases can affect people systemically, and so it is important to make the diagnosis and initiate proper therapy. And on the line is Randy. Randy, welcome to the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic.
Thank you.
Now, Randy is a patient of Dr. Nord's, and Randy has ulcerative colitis, correct?
Correct.
And would you like to share with us when you were, what age you were when you were diagnosed and some of the symptoms that led you to seek medical attention and start with that?
I was 46 years of age, which is 10 years ago.
Okay.
Originally, it was just mainly inflammation, ulcers in my mouth, and finally got to Dr. Nord, who absolutely took care of me.
All right, so you had these ulcers in the mouth. Now, had you ever had any kind of ulcers in your mouth before during teenager years, 20s, 30s, ever?
No.
Before? Never
no,
before?
Never.
Because many people have aphthous ulcers, thinking that it's from citrus or some other dietary or maybe herpes virus. And, Jürgen, is there something specific about the ulcers in patients with inflammatory bowel disease that suggests inflammatory bowel disease?
Well, if they are, first, welcome, Randy, and thank you so much for being on the program. I really appreciate that. Indeed, if the ulcers are larger, if they're irregular, if they're extremely painful, then it is beyond just what you might think, maybe a herpes or a little fever blister. Sometimes it can be so severe that patients have difficulty chewing and swallowing and eating.
And can they bleed?
They can, but that is relatively rare.
Hmm. Okay, so you had these ulcers. How frequently were you getting these ulcers, Randy?
Well, I was getting them. I don't know if Dr. Nord had shared it with you, but I had a total colonectomy.
Right.
So I had my colon completely removed. So as far as I'm concerned, unless Doc's got something else to say about it, I think my ulcerative colitis is gone.
That's correct. You're cured.
As far as...
cured. Do you hear that word, cured?
That's a wonderful word. As far as
right, I don't get any sores in my mouth anymore.
Well, that's interesting. So that's an interesting point. So a colectomy, removing the colon in a patient with ulcerative colitis, that will impact symptoms elsewhere in the digestive tract. Is that true?
That's correct.
So does that also reduce or eliminate the risk of other systemic symptoms, which are perhaps genetic in nature?
Most of the extraintestinal manifestations are related to the activity of the colitis. And so, therefore, if the colon is out, these things get better. There is one exception to that for patients who have liver disease like sourcing cholangitis. That behaves independently. And if patients never have had it, it's rare that they would get it at a later time, really. But otherwise, indeed, it's cured in many of the other aspects as well.
That's very exciting, Randy.
I'm extremely excited about it, especially since we had the reversal done in 07. So, it's been wonderful. Thanks to Dr. Nord.
Let's go back to your mid-40s, okay, so the listeners can get a better feel of this as you develop these problems. So you initially had ulcers in the mouth, and how frequently would you get them, and would they be in different parts of your mouth, or would it be the same location recurrently?
No, I mean, it was, it kind of moved around from the gum area to the tongue to the inside of the lip.
Okay.
But that's not really, because I really didn't understand what that was.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think that had anything to do with it. The problem, and when I actually was originally diagnosed, was because I was having a lot of diarrhea.
Okay.
And blood in the stool and getting dehydrated because I was quite active as far as sports goes. So that's how it all started, where we realized after having a colonoscopy, originally the doctor that I was seeing had diagnosed me with Crohn's.
Okay.
It just didn't seem logical to me. And then I was blessed enough to find the young man on the other end of the line.
All right.
And he took care of me.
So your bloody diarrhea and your ulcers in your mouth would coexist? You'd get these at the same time?
Oh, yes.
All right. We're going to take a quick break and come back with more with Randy on ulcerative colitis with my guest expert, Dr. Jürgen Nord, on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Be back in a flash.
the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Call now in Hillsboro, 813-289-1860. Anywhere else, 877-969-8600. More in a few moments.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. The father of a soldier captured in Afghanistan says his family appreciates, quote, expressions of sympathy from across the country. Private First Class Bo Bergdahl vanished nearly 3 weeks ago. A video posted online, Bergdahl appears in it, says he's very unnerved to be a prisoner. Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton calling on negotiators with Israeli, calling negotiations with Israelis intense after the Jewish state rejected U.S. demands to suspend planned housing projects in East Jerusalem. It's a space station first. The crew could do without 13 astronauts and one operational toilet. It's not working right now. Mission Control has hung the out-of-service sign on it till it can be fixed, but they expect it will be fixed pretty soon. And University of Southern Florida starting kicker is recovering from a 35-foot fall at Busch Gardens in Tampa. The player, an employee of the park, was checking to see whether a door was locked on the ride. This is SRN News.
How do you define fiscal responsibility? If you're Vice President Joe Biden, fiscal responsibility means spend more of our money.
You're telling me we gotta go spend money to keep from going bankrupt? Answer yes, I'm telling you.
Don't know when to stop talking.
Would you trust the vice president with your credit card? Now, more than ever, making dollars and cents. Talk Radio 860 WGUL.
I'm Tom Jackson, a columnist for the Tampa Tribune and TBO.com, and now host of the Jax Files Weekend. Every Saturday morning at 11, you'll hear an hour of reflections and analysis on the previous week's upheavals in the news, politics, society, and culture from the viewpoint of a conservative's conservative. We'll bring you the right stuff.
The Jax Files Weekend with Tom Jackson. Saturday mornings at 11 on Talk Radio 860 WGUL.
Your host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic is ophthalmologist and eye surgeon Dr. Stephen L. Maskin. Dr. Maskin is the medical director of the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, the proud sponsor of today's show. At the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, Dr. Maskin specializes in solving difficult dry eye and cornea disorders with patients traveling from over 35 states and 5 continents for his evaluation. Dr. Maskin manages these dry eye disorders using innovative medical and surgical therapies, including the use of placenta-derived amniotic membrane, a new patent-pending natural eye lubricant to provide relief for dry eye sufferers, an exciting new procedure to unblock obstructed tear glands, and a topical cure for eye surface cancer. Dr. Maskin has been successfully managing difficult dry eye cases for over 20 years and is board-certified, fellowship-trained, and a fellow of the American College of Surgeons and American Academy of Ophthalmology. He's been selected a best doctor in America every year from 2000 through 2009 and as an America's top ophthalmologist by Consumers Research Council of America. We hope the Focus on Females education programs, including this show, will help you and your family find the health care that works for you. Focus on Females believes in saving lives and protecting families. And please, visit drmaskin.com, and if you have not found relief for your painful red dry eyes, come in to see Dr. Maskin at the Dry Eye and Cornea Treatment Center, where comfortable eyes lead to restored lives.
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin. Focus on
Females. And welcome back to Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. We're talking about inflammatory bowel disease. Randy, are you with us still?
I am.
All right. Okay, well, Randy, so you had the diagnosis of ulcerative colitis made, and you initially started on medical therapy.
Yes.
And how did that work out?
With different sets of prednisone treatments and then getting into the what I actually called nuclear medicine, which was Remicade, 6-MP, and things like that.
Right.
They worked great for a while. with me. And then all of a sudden, starting with 6MP, I had a terrible reaction to it after probably 6 months, which I was on before I got to Dr. Nord. Then we tried the Remicade, and the Remicade was a wonderful drug. But once again, after 6-7 months, I had reactions to that. It just got to a point that the medicine wasn't doing me any good.
Right.
And staying on the steroids was not an answer.
Right.
So that's when Dr. Nord and myself made the decision that it would probably be best to go ahead and get rid of the thing.
Jürgen, what kind of conversation or how do you introduce the notion of colectomy, removing the colon for these patients, may be the right way to go?
That's always a very touchy and a very difficult discussion to initiate. And many times it's actually brought up with the patient. And as Randy said, if quality of life is such, or if the treatment is worse than the disease, talking about complications, side effects, and so forth, then it is appropriate to discuss it. And many times when a patient is ready and says, you know, I can't go on like this, we have to do something different, then the outcome is usually very, very good. Many times we also use patients like Randy, for instance, or others to speak to our patients because they have gone through this experience. They know what is involved, and that is invaluable in trying to answer all the burning question that many of our patients have who face this major decision because you can't go back once the colon is out. You can't put it back in.
But furthermore, there are some advantages, actually, it sounds like. In other words, once you make the decision, there's advantage to the extent that it controls the disease.
It does.
It also limits the risk or eliminates potentially the risk of potential cancer down the road.
That's very true.
So there are, once you make that decision, if you come to that choice or that decision fork in the road, so to speak, there's some positive things to be said about that.
Yeah, very much so. And with the newer types of surgery, we can maintain the ability to use a bathroom normally as compared to have a stoma or what in lay terms is referred to as a bag, an ileostomy, for instance.
Now, Randy, how would you say this has affected your life since you went ahead and had the surgery and the colon removed?
As far as how I was feeling when
Correct.
I was dealing with ulcerative colitis?
Correct.
Well, on a 1 to 10, with 10 being the best, I was probably a 2 with the ulcerative colitis, and now I feel like I'm about a 9.8.
Well, that's not quite to that 10 yet, huh?
No. Well, you know, I'm still working on it. There's always room for improvement.
Right.
But the difference, and, you know, to let people know that, and I have spoken to individuals that have gone through this, having an ostomy, which I had for 9 months and getting in preparation to have the reversal done, at the beginning, it's a little shocking, to be honest with you, but very manageable. And as I went into this, got it to where I could actually pretty much control it and knew what I was doing. So even if you have to have an ostomy, it's not going to change your quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little maintenance. But other than that, it's definitely doable, and it's a big improvement from where I was.
Mm-hmm.
I was just blessed enough to where I had Dr. Nord, who put me with a fantastic surgeon, and we had the reversal done, and it's been great.
When was your reversal?
Reversal was November of 07.
Okay.
And the original surgery was February of 07.
I think we should say one thing that Randy was, number one, a superb patient, star patient, but also is a very active individual, a very successful businessman. And therefore, you know, he had really no time to be continuously ill and out. And Randy, please tell us concerning your overall productivity, your business, and going on with life after this.
Well, I used to play professional golf for years. In the 70s, but I'm in a different type of field. I'm an audio video design and build engineer. I've been with the Buccaneers as their head engineer for, this will be my 18th season. So, you know, to be able to go out and actually perform my duties and be out away from the house, because when it was getting really bad, I couldn't leave the house.
Mm-hmm.
Only because the inflammation was so badly spread that I would not be able to have bowel movements, but it felt like I had to all the time. So, you know, like Dr. Nord said, I am very active, and it was, I had no choice. I just had to ask Doc, and, you know, what is the final outcome here? I mean, am I just going to continue to be like this, or is there an answer? And the answer, of course, was to get rid of it.
And you're at a 9.8 out of 10, so you're pretty much able to do anything you want right now.
I was able to do anything I wanted with the ostomy.
Okay.
So I'm just saying it's a very positive thing. Now, I don't know anything about Crohn's. I know nothing about Crohn's. But ulcerative colitis, I've studied a great deal about it. Of course, I've had the expert on the other end of the line to help me with some of my stupid questions. But I just feel that the disease is gone completely.
Mm-hmm.
Not like, you know, okay, I'm able to function better, you know, the symptoms aren't as bad. No, gone. So, and I don't understand really how that happens, but it is gone.
Well, I think that, you know, one important lesson I think here for everyone listening, and I think Dr. Nord alluded to it as well, is that you can be productive with this disease. In spite of the disease, you can be productive. And working with your doctor closely, you can successfully control the disease and get on with your life.
That's very, very true. And by the way, there are really no stupid questions. It is so important that we have a broad dialogue with our patients, that all their concerns, all their questions are fully and as honestly as we can answered. But indeed, even, you know, surgery is necessary only in the minority of patients. Our newer drugs, especially the more modern drugs, allow us to keep people out of the hospital and improve their quality of life and keep them functional. And we should remember that. And we have become much more aggressive with these newer, aggressive medications.
Are there any, Randy, are you able to eat anything you want, use the diet you want? Do you even consider what you're eating? That is vis-a-vis your history of ulcerative colitis, or is it an issue at all?
You know, that's a good question because, I mean, I can eat anything I want. I have gotten to where I realize that some things, because I don't have a colon, so everything moves more rapidly through the system. I have found that there are certain things that I shouldn't be eating. Like, I don't want to have a lot of roughage, you know, a lot of barbecue sauce. That doesn't mean I can't eat it.
Mm-hmm.
I can eat it. It's just that the frequency of bowel movements, I believe, is going to be greater. Or the gas within is going to be greater. I do want to say one thing. Dr. Nord said, you know, the dialogue between doctor and patient. Everyone should understand that, it's like you said, there are no stupid questions. The more you know and the more you learn about it, the better you're going to feel, because then nothing's a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's so important to have faith and trust in your medical care, because if you're guessing, I don't believe it's going to help you at all. So I believe questions are good. My questions, like I said, probably weren't very intelligent, but
no, you have to.
I was very inquisitive about what the deal was with my life.
It's so important to be inquisitive. It's so important to look at your position with your vis-a-vis your physician as a partnership, as a team approach, because the more educated you are as the patient, the better results we can get together, that is physician and patient together, the better results we can achieve with an educated patient. I'm sure you would agree with that.
Yeah, that is well put, by Randy and by you.
Okay, Randy, would you like to share, or actually this is a great opportunity, if there is another question, no matter how, you know, on the scale of it may be, that is to say, any question at all that you may have at this point of Dr. Nord, or any other comment you'd like to share with our listeners as to your experience with ulcerative colitis?
I mean, I really don't have a lot of experiences to share with you other than what I've already said, but having the trust in your health provider is the utmost importance. I have so much trust in the gentleman there by you that it changed my life. Now, that's not to say that other people don't have trust in their doctors, but I will say this. It is very important to feel comfortable when you walk in and when you walk out of whoever you're seeing. And Dr. Nord has just been, I mean, he's been a blessing.
Well, you're very kind, and what you said is very, very true, and that goes for all of our patient-physician interactions.
Very good. Well, Randy, I personally want to thank you for joining us today on the radio show and to share your experiences. You're doing many, many people a big help out that are listening out there to your story, and I'm sure they're very grateful to you as well.
Thank you, Randy.
Just tell them to keep your chin up, and you'll be fine.
Very good.
Thank you.
Well put. All right, have a great day.
Thank you so much, Randy.
All right.
All right, and we'll come right back with more on the Focus on Females Radio Health Care Clinic. Back in a flash.
When you become a foster parent in partnership with Hillsborough Kids Incorporated, you'll make a big difference in the life of a child.
I'm Andre West. My wife and I have been foster parents for the last 3 years in Hillsborough County, and I'm proud to be a foster parent. It's very rewarding to see the fruits of your work when you can see it in the children and you made a difference in a child's life. Step up and do what you can to save a child. You'll get more out of it than you ever gave.
Foster parents are special people making a difference in the community, and Hillsborough Kids Incorporated comes alongside of them in a special way.
They have provided so much support. Their leadership and their willingness to listen and work alongside in a partnership with foster parents is dynamic. If we can make a difference in one child's life, it's going to make a difference in the world.
To learn more about becoming a foster parent, call 813-643-KIDS, 813-643-KIDS, or visit hillsboroughkids.org. This radio healthcare program is brought to you by the Focus on Females Education Foundation, a not-for-profit organization. Our mission is to make you an expert on your individual medical problems through dynamic and interactive educational programs. Real physicians answering real questions, speaking plain English, and giving practical, ready-to-use information on a wide variety of topics. Participation empowers families to better partner with their doctors. The result is more effective office visits, preventing unnecessary suffering, and eliminating the economic burdens of avoidable health and emergency care. We need your financial support. Donations to the foundation are tax deductible. Each and every dollar provides support so families can take control of their health. We have already saved and transformed lives for generations to come. Be a donor in what has been described as a phenomenon to reduce health illiteracy in our community. No donation is too small. To learn more about us and our free 5th Annual Women's Healthcare Symposium, March 27, 2010, visit www.focusonfemales.com. Donations can be made to Focus on Females Education Foundation, P.O. Box 320702, Tampa, Florida 33679-2702. Thank you. Confused about dry eye? Not getting answers as to why your eyes are so red and painful and your blurry vision that gets a little better with a good blink? Now you can learn all about dry eye, the causes, treatments, and home remedies from the number one best-selling consumer book on dry eye problems, Reversing Dry Eye Syndrome by Dr. Stephen Maskin. Published by Yale University Press, Reversing Dry Eye Syndrome has been selected as a 2008 Best Book of the Year by the Association of American University Presses and a 2007 Best Consumer Health Book by Library Journal. Find find answers for your dry eye. Go to your bookstore and pick up a copy of Reversing Dry Eye. You'll be glad you did.
Studio lines are open, so get focused, get involved, and get the advice you need for your health. In Hillsboro, 289-1860, and everywhere else, 877-969-8600. Once again, our host for the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic, Dr. Stephen Maskin.
And welcome back to our show today. We're tackling Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis. And on the line is Laura from Tampa. Laura, welcome to our show, and you have a question about Crohn's.
Hi, yes, my name is Laura. I think you, my mom is actually a patient of yours, Dr. Maskin, and I actually have not seen Dr. Nord as a patient, but I was calling just to get some advice. I have relapsed numerous times. I've had Crohn's for 9 years now, tried everything out there, including the clinical trials for Prochymal. I failed everything. I've had numerous surgeries now. My most recent one was after my total colectomy to try to have the reversal done. And that was in May. And since then, I've had several complications, bleeding and abscesses and so forth. And now I'm finally on the last stage. I've had my drain pulled. I'm on antibiotics. I'm trying to get my life back together. I started classes, but I really am worried about my Crohn's coming back, so I want to get back on treatment. I've never tried Cimzia before, so I was thinking about starting Cimzia. Just wanted to know your thoughts on it and, you know, how soon, when is it okay to start back after having surgery with infections and so forth.
How old are you now?
That's a lot. I'm 22.
22, and you had Crohn's for 9 years.
Yes, so I was diagnosed when I was 13.
Okay.
Yeah, Laura, you obviously have a very aggressive form of Crohn's disease with the frequent operations, complications that you mentioned. And in those situations, there's always a significant chance of the Crohn's to come back. And it usually comes back at the area of anastomosis, meaning where the two parts of the intestine are put back together. And usually what we do is do an endoscopy to see if there's any recurrence and then would treat these individuals in a rather prophylactic or maybe aggressive way. And I think in the newer thinking, the biologic agents that you mentioned one which is called Cimzia. The others are Remicade and Humira. We don't know if one is better than the other. They are somewhat different, have somewhat different forms of administration. But clearly, this would be appropriate if there are no contraindications, meaning that infections are under control. You mentioned that you had problems with infection, that you had abscesses and so forth, because these are all immunosuppressive drugs, very powerful drugs. And so any residual infection could certainly flare up.
Right.
What? So where you are now, have you had a recent endoscopy?
Well, I was told that you need to wait at least 6 months after you are have the reanastomosis done before you have an endoscopy. Obviously, they had to go back in and do an endoscopy because I actually had bleeding that they had to go in and cauterize because it wouldn't stop bleeding. But I was told that generally they don't like to go in and do endoscopies. They like to wait a while. I didn't know if this was consistent, you know, among doctors or if this was just this one person's opinion or not.
Yeah, I think it is true that we want to make sure that everything has as well healed. And 6 months appears to be the time that we try to look. We could certainly look somewhat earlier, but that's the time where we look to see if there's any possible what we call early recurrence. And so if that's the case, then we need to make then some decision and see we need to treat this rather aggressively to prevent more serious matters to occur.
Laura, how are your symptoms now?
Well, that's the thing is I feel like they're not so good. I've been extremely lethargic. I even started running a low-grade fever just 2 days ago. I feel like the pain that comes and goes rather than just the constant pain that I had with the abscess is very similar to the way it was when I had Crohn's. You know, I'll have pain that kind of is relieved somewhat when I have a bowel movement, and I'm concerned because it just the way that I feel so run down feels a lot like it did when I had Crohn's.
You had a recent CBC? Make sure you're not anemic?
Well, I haven't had one since it would have been due to just surgical complications. So I am looking into having blood work done tomorrow, as a matter of fact, just to see if it's bad. But
Jürgen, is there another way to evaluate her tract, such as maybe a CT procedure or CT
yes,
imaging?
Yes, I mean, fever would be of concern. It would suggest either that there is some inflammation of the intestine or maybe that there is a possible complication. If you combine that with the weakness and lethargy, I think one would be concerned, and an imaging study, like, for instance, a CT might be a very appropriate test to see if there's anything besides, inflammation of the intestine going on.
And there would be no reason to not do that as compared to the endoscopy, which they want to wait several months.
Yeah, I mean, one would certainly evaluate the patient with a physical examination. I think the laboratory work would be very good. Many times we look for inflammatory markers like a sedimentation rate or what's called C-reactive protein, CRP. All of those could point towards...
Or even a white blood count.
Indeed, white count may be elevated. You know, patients mm-hmm. might be anemic as a reflection of the chronic disease. And then clearly, I would go probably for an imaging study.
Okay.
Does that give you some direction, perhaps?
That kind of reaffirms what I was planning on doing. I have been treated for anemia of chronic disease in the past as well with the erythropoietin alpha. So
right.
I was curious as to that might be a contributing factor as well.
Have you had a CT scan with a CT
yes.
imaging procedure?
Well, I've had those before
many.
As well.
Right.
Probably many, I would think.
Yes, unfortunately, I have had many. They're not, the best. They're easy, though, I have to say.
Yeah, and so that's something that perhaps would be indicated to evaluate your condition.
Right.
All right. Do you have any other questions while we're here?
I guess just, do you have any burning suggestions? I was always wondering, as far as nutrition goes, I've read about some supplements that were made for IBD specifically. They're called Forvia. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of them or not. I was just curious to see, do you think that people with Crohn's, I am taking B12, by sub-Q injection once monthly, but other than that, do you see anything that Crohn's patients in particular seem to be at lower levels than?
1 minute.
Yeah. Laura, this is a very good question, and frequently nutrition comes up. I think vitamin B12 is very appropriate because that part of the intestine called the terminal ileum, which is probably removed, is the area where it is selectively absorbed, and so you need to have the supplementation in form of the shots as you will take them as compared to tablets. Otherwise, we don't have any specific either colitis or Crohn's disease diet, except if you would have any specific intolerances. Many supplements may be sold and maybe out there in the market, but none of those would really have been studied to the point that they make any significant difference. So whatever you're tolerating, I think I would eat.
All right. We've got to wrap it up here. I want to thank my guest, Dr. Jürgen Nord. Next week on the Focus on Females Radio Health Care Clinic is Fainting Spells with Dr. Ignacio Gallardo. I'd like to thank Laura as well as Randy for joining us today on the phone, and for everyone else out there listening, we'll see you next week. Join us, Fainting Spells, next Sunday on the Focus on Females Radio Healthcare Clinic. Have a great week.